بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على النبي الأمي برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. We continue with the previous discussion on Hazrat Sa'id bin Zayd رضي الله عنه. This was his father's poem, Zayd bin Amr bin Nufail رضي الله عنهم.
رب واحد أم ألف رب أدين إذا تقسمت الأمور عزلت اللات والعزى جميعا كذلك يفعل الجلد الصبور فلا العزى أدين ولا ابنتيها ولا صنمي بني عمرو أدير.
Is there one Lord or a thousand? Who do we submit to? When you're saying there's so many different avenues, he says, I clarify it to you. I leave all adultery, Lat, Uzza, all of that I leave. That's what a brave, patient man should do. Nor should we submit to Uzza, nor her daughters, nor the idols of Banu Amr, should we run our lives through, but our lives should be run through Allah's submission, submission through submission to Allah, the one true creator.
رَبٌّ وَأَحْدٌ أَمْ أَلْفُ رَبٍّ.
These were his famous words. What do you say? One or many? One or a thousand? The one is doing everything. Submit to him. The one gave you these animals and the wealth and everything you have. How dare you slaughter these animals, taking other than his name. And look how the pagan practice of Jahiliyyah, they would take these gods, Lat and Uzza and so forth. Allahu Akbar. And how shaitaniyat came in and the names changed. Lat, they confused Allah and then made it Lat. That's why very, very importantly for us to practice in pronouncing Allah's name correctly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even for our salah, when starting, initiating our salah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Lat also comes from a word, latta yalittu, where they used to mix. There was an old man who used to mix this porridge and feed people, and the stone he used to sit on. After he passed away, they started worshipping that stone. That was how Jahiliyat happened. To such an extent, Isaf and Na'ila were two people who perpetrated adultery not far by the Kaaba there in the Haram, and they were transformed into stones. And look at Jahiliyyah, they started worshipping stones. Allah save us. That's why knowledge of deen and working on our iman is most important. And asking Allah to help us remain with iman till our last breaths, that we leave this world with iman and deen and truth. Hazrat Amir bin Rabi'ah, a great Sahabi of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and we've discussed his life under an amazing couple, Amir bin Rabi'ah, his wife Layla. They also come from Hazrat Umar's family. He says that Zayd bin Amr bin Nufail would mention to me that really, Amir, I'm telling you, I'm opposing my people in this issue. I follow Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam and Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam, and what they worshipped. And they worshipped facing the Qibla, worshipping Allah. I believe in Allah. And I testify, and I bear witness that the final Nabi of Allah is coming. I accept him as Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Amir, if Allah blesses you with a longer life than me, then convey my salams to him. Hazrat Amir says that when I embraced Islam, I notified Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of the salams. I conveyed the salams. The salams of Zayd to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded to the salams of Zayd, faradda alayhi salam, and Allah's Nabi made du'a of mercy for him, wa tarahhama alayhi, and he said, I saw him in Jannah. Allah showed Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam a vision where Hazrat Zayd was seen in Jannah dragging a long garment, and that's a beautiful meaning in the dream. Obviously, Islamically, one should not drag their garments. It should be till the shin, half the shin, or permissible is a little more, but it must be above the ankle. That's the sunnah practice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba kiram radhiyallahu anhum. But in a dream, if one sees himself dragging a garment, it actually has a virtuous meaning. Like here, the Sahabi, this great pious man, before the advent of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is dragging this long garment in Jannah. There's a report in Fathul Bari where Hazrat Sa'id bin Zayd radiallahu anhu said, I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about my father Zayd. Hazrat Umar was with me. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to me that may Allah shower him with forgiveness and mercies, because he passed away on the creed of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. فَإِنَّهُ مَاتَ عَلَى دِينِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. There is a report where he went to Syria looking for information and searching for the truth, more information about the final Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, because he was restless seeing the pitiable state of the Meccan society involved and drenched in jahiliyyah, drowning in paganism and idolatry. This would hurt him. And at times, his relative Khattab also got him tortured. And then he would take resort outside Makkah Mukarramah.
So he goes to Syria, the land of the Romans, meeting the scholars and so forth. And they told him that you have to return to Makkah because it's enshrined in the books, that this is where the final Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will hail from. And then as he was returning, there was an attack upon him and highway robbers, and they hurt him, stole whatever he had, and he was left alone in the desert. And as he was passing away, he made dua. Allahu Akbar. How important is dua? He says, Allah, I want to meet the final Nabi of Allah. But O Allah, I can only meet him if you allow me. Allahumma in kunta haramtani min hadha al-khayr. O Allah, if you are not granting me this opportunity of khayr and goodness, O Allah, I beseech you. O Allah, I beg of thee, never deprive my son of this opportunity. فَلَا تَحْرِمْ مِنْهُ إِبْنِي سَعِيدًا. And Allahu Akbar, a father's dua. How important is the pain and the worry in the heart for our hidayat, for our children's hidayat, for our family's hidayat, for humanity's hidayat. That worry, that desire for hidayah. Allah, give us that tawfiq, that the pain and that worry for hidayah should be in our hearts. What a dua, what a dua. When Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was giving da'wat, among the first to embrace Islam in the initial stages was none other than Allahu Akbar. Even before Darul Arqam bin Abil Arqam became the first markaz and center of Islam, before that stage already, Hazrat Sa'id had embraced Islam. Allah gave him hidayah. Allah gave him tawfiq. And it came from the du'as of his father. Respected father, make du'a for our children's hidayah. Give them the correct upbringing. Give them the correct tarbiyah. Inspire them towards Allah's deen and the Qur'an and the deen. Create an environment of love for deen and iman and ta'aleem and sahaba's lives in the home. Create that ambiance and that environment. What a blessing it'll be. It'll be the means of the hidayah of our children. Hazrat Sa'id's wife also had embraced Islam in the early stages. What used to happen? Our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then Hazrat Abu Bakr would make effort on the men, and Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha would make an effort on the women folk. So Hazrat Fatima bintul Khattab, subhanallah, bintul Khattab bin Nufail, she embraced Islam. So herself and her husband were both striving for Allah's sake in Allah's way. At first, this was in the Meccan stage, so they concealed their Islam from others, because they were making an effort of deen and iman in Darul Arqam and in their homes. And Hazrat Sa'id and Hazrat Fatima, subhanallah, would encourage each other and would learn the Qur'an al-Kareem. And then Hazrat Khabbab bin Arat, radiallahu anhu, used to frequently help Hazrat Sa'id and Hazrat Fatima. And it happened one day that Hazrat Umar now, subhanallah, And interestingly, this is also happening in Dhul Hijjah, where Hazrat Umar is charging towards their home. Prior to this was the Islam of Hazrat Hamza. There was a short period between the Islam of both of them. Preferably, it was the sixth year after Nubuwa, where Hazrat Hamza's Islam, and 3 days later, Hazrat Umar's Islam. And it seems that this took place in the month Dhul Hijjah. But before mentioning this incident of Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Umar's Islam went through stages. And this might assist us, because when dealing with people, subhanallah, you don't know what can inspire somebody. Somewhere you made somebody's ikram. Somewhere you offered someone a cup of coffee. Somewhere you showed someone a smile. My sister, you spoke to other sisters in a kind manner. She saw through your akhlaq and demeanor that Muslims are so happy. Despite so many atrocities Muslims face in the world, look at their reaction. Hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakil. My brother, at the workplace, you discussed with people. You told them about Hajj. You told them about Ibrahim alayhi salam. You told them about how Allah saved him in the fire. You told him on one occasion about Hazrat Isa alayhi salam. And slowly, something. And then in your office, some verses of the Quran Kareem played. And so forth. You gave someone a lift. You put on the Quran Kareem. And Allahu Akbar, while you're driving, there's some beautiful recital of the Quran Kareem or some inspiration on the radio. So subhanallah, we have to be wise and use these opportunities. You don't know what can inspire who. Even something small can inspire someone. Allahu Akbar. Sometimes few things. It's like, understand it like a scale. Like in the old days and still used in certain places with two pans on either side. And as you putting the 1 kg weight on the one side and then you want bananas for that amount, you're putting 1, 2, 3. Finally, you're putting the 5th, 6th one, for example, or the final one that tilts the scale. It wasn't just the final one. It was all together. So, subhanallah, efforts on someone heaps up, and like that, finally, Allah gives them hidayah. Hazrat Umar says, one day I was to meet my friends, and they didn't make it. They were planning to drink and spend time together. This was in Jahiliyyah, in their past, before the advent of the Islam. He says, no one arrived. I then didn't want to go home. I went by the Kaaba, and it was a shock to me that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reciting. So I said, I never heard this. Let me listen to what he is reciting. And I hid inside the curtain of the Kaaba, and I maneuvered myself, moving slowly towards where he was facing. He even says he was facing that side of the Kaaba, wherein he was also facing Baytul Maqdis. And that's what Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do in Makkah. And I'm inside the curtain of the Kaaba, exactly where he is praying, and I'm listening, and he was reciting this chapter.